trucks around town. Guys have to have room for their toys. The truck hit a bump, soared up, flopped down, and her stomach lurched dangerously. Don't think of food. Don't think of the smell. Come on, Rainy, focus. And then, yellow-flowered fields, smooth, flowing streams. The decades-old mantra returned so easily, it was as if it had never left. She was 16 years old again, detached and helpless as her mother's boyfriend labored over her body. She was 25, drunk, and being felt up by some guy in the back of a bar. She was 30, being touched by Quincy for the first time, and realizing how much the promise of love scared her out of her mind. Yellow-flowered fields, smooth-flowing streams. Yellow-flowered fields, smooth-flowing streams. The vehicle cranked hard to the left. She fell over on her side, helpless to right herself with her hands bound tight at her wrists. Bump, bump, bump. Rhythmic, fast. A gravel road, maybe, or hard-weathered asphalt. The truck came to a sudden halt, and her feet slid off the seat, catching the brunt of her weight hard against the floor. She tried to slither back up into position, hips up first, followed by feet. She heard the driver's door open, then close. He would come around to the back now, fetch his prize. Kick him, she thought abruptly. Lying on her side, her feet positioned in front of the passenger side door, all she needed to do was bend her knees for a bit of leverage, then nail him hard in the gut. He'd go down and she could... what? Hop out of the car like a bunny, ankles bound, wrists bound, tape across her mouth? Most likely, she'd fall face first in the mud and drown in a pool of shallow water. She still wanted to do it, wanted to feel the satisfaction of her feet sinking into his soft belly, hear his surprised, ooh. He made her feel small and helpless. She hated him for that. The door opened. Belatedly, she lashed out. He caught her feet with his hands and pushed her legs aside. Oh, for Christ's sake, I don't have time for this bullshit. Get up, move. He used the rope tied around her ankles to drag her like a side of beef out of the back. Her head whacked the running board. Her shoulder drove into the muddy ground, forcing the breath from her lungs. Immediately, her nostrils flared, her back arched. She fought desperately for oxygen, lips straining against the duct tape. She couldn't breathe. She was going to die. She flailed on the ground, panicked and terrified. Her captor kicked her, the toe of his shoe digging into the small of her back. Get up, I tell you! Move! Dark spots started to swim before her eyes. At the last minute, her captor seemed to realize her predicament. He bent down, jerked her to her feet, and ripped the duct tape from her mouth. Scream, and I will kill you. She didn't scream, couldn't have if she'd wanted to. She gulped gigantic, beautiful lungfuls of wet, rainy air and absorbed them into her body. She tasted coastal breezes and fir trees and cow dung. She tasted field grass and dirt. And in that instant, she was pathetically grateful to be alive. She heard a rasp. It sounded like a knife being drawn from a leather sheath. She turned toward the noise, still a little dazed, a little confused. Lorraine, her captor said in a tone of voice she hadn't heard before. I'm afraid I have some bad news. Rainy tried to run, but it was already too late. Chapter 18. Tuesday, 4:03 p.m., Pacific Standard Time. Approaching the fairground paddocks was easier said than done. Mac and Quincy advanced with their backs pressed against the exterior of the livestock barns and their eyes peering out into the gray-shrouded fields, looking for signs of movement. The rain drummed hard upon the metal roofs above them, periodically dousing them in walls of water while relentlessly deafening them with the sound. Quincy slid, was caught by Mac. They made it four more feet, then Mac careened forward in the ankle-deep mud and swamped them both. They picked themselves back up gingerly, breathing hard and soaked to the bone. Your entire left side is covered in mud, Mac reported.